Good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning, and thank you, Pastor and Tiffany, for having us. And I get to share some kind of highlights of our past 20 years in Botswana that you all were a part of as a supporting church. This church got on board with us back probably in 2005 when we had just been appointed as missionaries and hadn't even been to Botswana yet. And we just thank you for believing in us. And we just want to share some of the wins that we have together through our 20 years in Botswana with your support. We have updated prayer cards, and we'll be back in the back after the service, and we'd love to hand you one of these and to have you praying for us as we transition to the country of South Africa, and Matt will talk about that later. This first picture is a picture of our family when we arrived in Botswana. This was their first day of school. Our daughter Hannah and our sons Zach and Elliot, they were 10, 9, and 6 at the time, and this next picture is the family now. So it has grown quite a bit since we were here in 2005. Our daughter Hannah is now married, and our son Zach is. And between them, we have 5 grandchildren now. And then our youngest son, Elliot, he has been living in Casablanca, Morocco, and he's getting ready to move back to the States. So thank you for your prayers for them. In this next slide, with your help, we were able to go out to the Kalahari Desert and share the gospel with an unreached people group. Here in this picture, we have the Bible college students out in the village of Salajwe in the Kalahari speaking to the Basarwa people, or the clicking language people. Maybe some of you remember back in the day the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy. These are actually those people that speak the clicking language, and as I said, they are an unreached people group, and there is nothing more exciting than to be able to share the gospel with someone who has never heard the gospel before and to hear them say the word Jesus for the first time. And with your help, we were able to do that. And next, you'll see Matt in the classroom. He was a trainer at Assembly Bible College for the past 16 years. And when we first arrived in Botswana, there was around 75 churches. And as we left 20 years later, there were about 150 to 155, and almost all of those pastors during that time had gone through Matt's classroom, and he had the honor of training them. And in this next slide, you'll see a graduation of Assemblies Bible College, and it was always a wonderful day of celebrating as these newly certificated pastors were getting ready to go out and start churches or pastor existing churches throughout the villages in Botswana. And another ministry that we were involved in is called Africa Tabernacle Evangelism. And that is where we would take a structure, a steel structure, out to villages that didn't have a proper church. And this was one of those, oh, can you go back to that one? Sorry. This was one of those churches. This is one of Matt's former students' churches in the village of Gumari. And Matt had the privilege of getting to go and preach here at this church. And when people had been healed, they would hang their crutches or their walkers up in this tree. But this really, in, you know how the heat is here. Well, the heat in Botswana is very similar, maybe even a little hotter. And could you imagine your services being under this tree every Sunday? You would at least be happy for some shade. But we had told the pastor of this church, we would love to be able to come out and put up a structure for you. And that's this next picture. With your help, we were able to put up a structure like this in that village of Gumari for Pastor BK. And as the churches have the funds, they will come in and put in the floors and the windows. And during our time there, we were able to put up 21 of these structures. And most of those were for former students of Matt. So thank you for your hand in helping us bring these structures out to these rural villages and to these pastors. And this next one is one of our favorite memories of putting up a structure. While we were out finishing putting up this structure in the village of Habani, there's always a really big celebration afterwards, and all the mamas start singing and dancing. I wish we could take you all with us so that you could hear the celebration, because it's just so wonderful. And this older gentleman that's in the middle kneeling, he was walking by and heard the celebration that was going on and came onto the church property and asked what was happening. And the pastor was able to share the gospel with him. And he knelt right there and accepted the Lord as his Savior. And that very minute that the church was put up, it grew. So we thank you for your help in the church growth in Botswana and helping us to put up these structures. And I'm going to end with this last story of, this is Lesedi. It's kind of a full circle moment for us as we were getting ready to leave Botswana and transition to South Africa. In 2003, we were, 23, we were, in November, we were at a women's ministry conference in the northern part of the country. And during one of the breaks, this young lady came up to us and said, "Do you remember me?" And we said, "Could you help us refresh our memory?" And she said, "Well, my name's Lesedi. And when I was 7 years old, Pastor Matt baptized me." And we were just overjoyed to get to see some of the fruit of the 20 years that we had been in Botswana. Lesedi had been saved in a church plant that we had helped start our very first year in Botswana, and she's still living for Jesus. She's still shining brightly in her village of Francistown. She was on the worship team at the Women's Ministry Conference and leads worship at her church. And so because of you, Lesedi got to hear the gospel. And because of you and your giving, that man that was walking by got to hear the gospel. And because of your giving, there are many people that this Sunday were in churches underneath proper structures. And we just want to thank you for that and thankful for your faithful prayer for us and your giving throughout our years in Botswana.
Take it down. Good morning. Great job, Debbie. She makes me want to be a missionary. Thank you. Are we working on this one here? Can we hear it? Okay, great. Good morning. It's so good to be with you. And Pastor Jeff and Tiffany, thanks for having us this morning. Thanks for allowing us an opportunity to bring an update of ministry, a good report. Before you know it, 20 years have gone by. I remember very vividly standing right here 20 years ago and sharing with this church. It was on a Sunday night. Remember those days where we had Sunday night services? I'm just assuming you don't still have it anymore. It's probably the case, but it was a Sunday night service. We probably had a Sunday morning service someplace. In those days, we traveled, the whole family in the van with the VCR and with the little TV, and the kids were, we probably got home that night. We're from the Kelso Longview area. That's our home base area, so we probably got home that night about 1 in the morning after the service. But 20 years. And we cannot be more grateful for the faithfulness and the help of our partnering churches here in the Northwest, and this is one of them. So thank you so very much. The Lord and heaven will only be able to tell of all of the stories and all of the Lesedis and all of the people that have been touched and ministered through as a result of you giving and praying, as us saying yes and going. It's really a beautiful thing. And so thank you very much. And Debbie did mention that we have just transferred to South Africa. We moved to Pretoria, South Africa, February of 2024, and we were able to live there temporarily for a few months before we came back to the U.S. to be able to raise our support for our next term. And so we got home about 12 months ago. And we started raising our support. We're on the back end of it. Thankfully, we are doing very well. The Lord has helped us. We probably only have about 2 months left, and our goal is to be able to be fully funded by August and then apply for our South Africa paperwork to be able to live there and then get back to the field by September. And so this is going to be a crazy summer for us. We want to finish up our fundraising. We have services still till the end of July. But in that time, we're trying to see kids and say goodbye to family and pack up everything. And be praying with us about that. It's not easy to say goodbye to grandbabies, kids, family, immediate family, and also pack up all of our lives, put it in storage, put it in vehicles, hopefully give some away and all that stuff. But I want to share with you a little bit about what we'll be doing in South Africa. You saw a photo there of some of the remoteness and some of the ruralness of Botswana. Botswana is 75% Kalahari Desert, and there are villages scattered all throughout those areas of Botswana. Botswana sits on top of South Africa, so just to give you a geography if you're not aware of that. So through the years, living in Botswana, we've gone into South Africa many times each year for medical, for shopping, for, you know, to have a nice grocery store. And so we got very familiar with South Africa. But in Botswana, as the students would graduate from the Bible college and they would be sent out to very remote, isolated villages to plant a church or either to help a church that's already there, I enjoyed training the students and the pastors, young pastors at the Bible school, but I felt bad as they went into those isolated, remote areas because they were not going to have ongoing mentorship. And when they got to those isolated areas, they're going to come up against hard, difficult challenges, not only in ministry, but in their personal lives. And they weren't going to have somebody alongside of them to help them because of the remoteness of the country. And I always felt a little bad about that. And when Debbie and I started sensing that it was going to be time to leave Botswana, we're like, what are we going to do? You know, where are we going to go? We talked to our leadership, and they isolated some countries for us. But one of the things that they approached us about was South Africa with a new ministry initiative that was starting there called Healthy Pastor, Healthy Church. And that really piqued our interest because of the background and training and developing pastors and leaders. I really wanted to continue in that vein. I believe in healthy leadership. I believe in healthy pastors, which has a direct effect and a direct result on the health of a church. And so the Healthy Pastor, Healthy Church Ministry Initiative just really resonated with us. And so we moved to South Africa and started working with this new ministry initiative. And we're going to show a video here. It's not very long, but it's a brief video. And the first person that will be speaking is Dr. Labilo. He's the superintendent of the Assemblies of God of South Africa. So we're coming together with a vision of the South Africa leadership as well as the leadership of the missionaries saying, what can we do to help with the health of the pastors and the health of the churches in South Africa? And he'll be sharing a little bit about the value of this ministry, and then Debbie and I will talk a minute or two, and then I'll come back and wrap it up. So if we're ready back there, if you go ahead and show that video, explain it a bit more.
You can't have a healthy church if you don't have healthy leadership. That's why the emphasis is on having healthy pastors in all areas of their lives. You know, healthy in terms of their education, healthy in terms of their daily living, healthy in terms of their family life, and so on.
Hello, we are Matt and Debbie Mann, serving in the country of South Africa. We work with the Healthy Pastor, Healthy Church team and the National Church.
The Healthy Pastor, Healthy Church Ministry is a new initiative in South Africa designed to encourage, strengthen, and help Assemblies pastors with healthy personal and ministry development, which directly affects the health of the local church. A healthy local church will in turn plant more churches to impact more lives and villages with the gospel across South Africa.
Training is key. Training in theology, training in leadership skills, training in personal relationship, because all those contribute towards a healthy human being, a healthy pastor, a healthy leader. And that's why we appreciate the partnership that we have with our missionaries who are part of the team and the nationals who have joined hands together in pursuing this initiative.
Through your prayers and partnership, we are raising up healthy leaders and establishing and building the local church within walking distance of every African for the glory and praise of God. Yeah, amen. Maybe you've heard it, South Africa's been in the news a little bit lately. There are some deep, complex challenges for the country of South Africa. And yes, we've had missionaries there for a number of years. There are a number of churches there. But the issue is this, not just churches, but churches that are healthy. We need to plant healthy churches, churches that have healthy leadership in place to be able to affect the community that they're in a healthy way. And this is critical. We have the opportunity to work with about 300 churches in South Africa. And I think you understand the importance of the impact of a healthy church for a community. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we get in the scripture this morning. But can you imagine taking churches out of communities, not only around the world, but out of the communities of the Northwest and throughout this nation? Just take out the healthy churches of those communities. How much more of a depressing, discouraging, unhealthy environment that would be. The things that you see going on right now that discourage you as a Christian would even be more rampant and more just crazy. We need the local church, not just in this nation, but in South Africa. And the complex, deep, deep wounds and challenges of South Africa, it requires healthy churches, healthy pastors, and healthy believers to give hope to that nation for the next generation and for the future. Amen. And so thank you for continuing to support us, continuing to help us, believing that the local church and healthy pastors are the key to change any nation. And this is the nation that God has led us to from Botswana. We're going to miss Botswana. Botswana has always been a place that has been in our hearts and since I was a teenager. And I shared that story when I was here 20 years ago. I'm sure you remember it. but Botswana, we can drive to Botswana to where we were living in about 5 hours from Pretoria. So we will still get back up to Botswana. But this is just deep and burdened into our hearts, the churches of South Africa, the assemblies, the International Assemblies of God of South Africa, they need our help. And they need partnership with American missionaries to come and bring health and help to the pastors. As I mentioned on the video, this ministry is specifically designed to encourage, to strengthen, and to help those local pastors in South Africa with ongoing personal and ministry development. And so I'll just give you another little window into this ministry. For many years, as missionaries, we've done seminars in different countries of the world, okay? So we'll say, okay, pastors in this country, we're going to have a seminar. Come to this 2-3-day seminar talking about whatever it be, healthy pastor, healthy church, which we do have that seminar in South Africa. And seminars are great, and they have a place, but the problem is, and it's the same for us in the United States, as a pastor, you go to a seminar, and then, you know, you get encouragement, you get inspired, you get material, and then as you're driving away from that seminar, you start thinking about all of the challenges that are going on in your church and in your home and all these things, and before you know it, the resources and the things that you got are still sitting in your car or somewhere in your office, and you forgot all about it, and it's hard for implementing all of those things that you learned. And so this Healthy Pastor, Healthy Church seminar, the role that I'm going to play is more than just the seminar. It's on the backside of it. I'm going to go into those provinces and say, for the next year, we're going to work in a cohort situation, and I'm going to get those pastors on board, those that want to get on board, and they say, let's walk together for the next year. Let's be in relationship for the next year through Zoom, through in-person meetings, through sit-downs, through coffee visits, through time in your home. Let's figure out how we can implement these healthy pastor principles. Let's walk together. How can I help you? How can I encourage you? You see, sometimes you can't get all of the answers and all the help that you need in a seminar. You need to have somebody walking alongside of you. And so if you want to use the word mentor or whatever, it's really about what Jesus did, right? Didn't Jesus do that? He was discipling his disciples. He was walking and doing life with them, and he was encouraging them, and he was helping them day by day as they as they walk together. And that's what this Healthy Pastor, Healthy Church is all about, walking together in relationship with those pastors as we isolate provinces that we want to work in, and then we, when we're done in that province, go to the next one. How many of you know you can't work with all 300 churches at one time? But over a four-year period of time, as we isolate a province and seek the Lord's will and go into that province and get those 7 to 8 to 10 to 12 pastors on board with this accountability cohort structure, I really believe that the Lord can help do some things that couldn't have been done before. So thank you for helping us and continuing to support us as we get back to South Africa in September of this year and continue work there. If you have your Bible this morning, I invite you to turn to Acts number 13. Acts number 13. And we're just going to read the first three verses. And I will continue to weave in this idea of healthy pastor, healthy church through this portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. And as you're turning there and you're getting your place in the Bible or some, on your phone or whatever you're looking at this morning for the text of Scripture. And if you're writing things down, I just encourage you to write this down. I want you to write down the title and maybe the focus or the contention of the message, the main big idea of the message this morning. The title is A Local Church on Mission. As I walked into the reception or foyer area this morning, I began to see some things that really resonates with this idea of a local church on mission. Go, mission, send, pray, invite, like, Jesus. These are things that are important. And, the church, no matter what church it is, they have a direction that they're going, whether they realize it or not. They are going in a certain direction. But I think the Scripture needs to be the mandating evidence of that direction. So this morning, the title is A Local Church on Mission, and the message focus is A Local Church on Mission, empowered by the Holy Spirit, should be the most influential, the most impactful, and the most dynamic group of people in any community. That's you. You should be the most influential, the most impactful, and the most dynamic group of people in this community of Moses Lake. And even, the bordering surrounding areas. That's what we're called to as the church. You are a people on mission, empowered by the Holy Spirit, having the divine inspiration of truth right here. I know that there's a lot of people in our society now that are claiming they have the truth and they're speaking the truth and they're sharing their truth, but we honestly are the only ones that really have the truth. That's right. And not only the truth in text of Scripture, which is inspired, which is validated through the inspiration of Scripture, we also know the person of the truth. And his name is Jesus. So we're talking about a local church on mission. And those people are impactful, dynamic, and influential. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse number 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart," I love how they put the Holy Spirit's words in quotations. It's great. "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Verse number 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This is a local church on mission in Antioch. The Antioch is the city. Antioch, just a little bit of a historical background about Antioch. Antioch is in modern-day Syria today, which is having all kinds of turmoil. Please pray for the Christians in Syria. Severe persecution that we don't hear about very much in the news media. Pray for the Christians in Syria. Their legacy goes back to what we're even reading here in Scripture. Their foundation of faith, all the way back to this portion of Scripture in Acts chapter 13, this local church in Antioch. And Antioch was the third leading city in the Roman Empire at this time. This was in the first century, you know, 50, 60, 70 AD. And the Roman Empire was just exploding with growth, with power, with influence. Rome at this time had about 1 million people in Rome. That's a lot of people in a city 2,000 years ago. The second leading city was Alexandria down on the in Egypt, northern part of Egypt. The third leading city was this city of Antioch, which had about 500,000 people living in it at the time. Can you imagine 2,000 years ago in a city of 500,000? Can you imagine the utility systems at that time, or maybe even the sewer systems? I don't even want to think about it. It's a whole nother world, but this local church is embedded right there in that context. And turn back with me to Acts chapter 11, just to give a little bit more background on this church in Antioch. Acts chapter 11, start verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus to them. And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Wow. So this is how this Antioch local church started. The believers, the Jewish Messiah followers in Jerusalem begin to be persecuted for their belief of Jesus being the Messiah. They begin to scatter away from there, and they went to different places. And one of those places was Antioch. They began to speak to the Gentile people, and the hand of God was upon them, and the Lord began to save people. And that's how that church started there in Antioch. And as you know, as a studier of the Bible, you know that the first time that people are called Christians are in this city of Antioch. Wasn't necessarily a positive term in those days like we use it today. But this is the key. This is what I want you to catch. Not only were they called Christians in Antioch, Antioch becomes the launching pad for missions into the Gentile world. That's powerful stuff. This local church on mission in Antioch becomes the launching pad for missions to the Gentile world. So the first characteristic of this local church on mission is this: a local church on mission has good leadership. Right there in verse number one, it begins to list some of the leadership team. It says there were prophets, there were teachers, and names them by name, Barnabas and Simeon. Lucius actually was the evangelist that began to speak to the Gentiles there who planted that church. We know that Barnabas was an encourager. He was a teacher. He was a mature believer that came from Jerusalem and went to Antioch to try to help the church with their leadership development. Look at the last name there in verse number one. What is the last name, a part of this leadership team? The last name in verse number one. Saul. That's interesting too, isn't it? That's very interesting. I mean, Saul's kind of new to this band of believers. We know about his radical salvation, but Barnabas comes alongside of Saul and says, Saul, he puts his arm around him and says, Saul, God has something very special in store for you. And Barnabas is one who really encourages the apostolic leadership in Saul's life to become a Paul. So even Saul, as a young believer, as a young person to the Christian faith, he is now a part of the leadership team in Antioch. Having healthy leadership is so critical. You remember Ephesians chapter number 4? Ephesians chapter number 4 talks about leadership in the local church. Talks about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. And in that part of Scripture, it very clearly shows that Jesus has given these leaders as gifts to the church. Hello? Jesus says the pastor, teacher, the evangelist, the prophet, the apostle, these
these capacities, these people who are divinely called by God, they are used to bring edification. They are used to bring people to the full measure of Christ. They are used to bring unity to the body of Christ. I don't know if you've ever thought it this way before, but your leadership team in place at this church are gifts that are divinely given by God. They are gifts. They are gifts by God. And gifts, according to Scripture, the gifts of leadership, according to Scripture, are used to help bring health to the local church. As long as those leaders are healthy themselves. Amen? We need healthy leadership. We need healthy churches. If a church is unhealthy, it cannot fully fulfill its mandate in that community. That's very, very good. Think about that. This local church and this community is going to be held accountable before God on how they are used in this community, what they do in this community, how you affect this community, how you bless this community, how you challenge this community, how you love this community. You have a mandate as a local church in this community, and you will be held responsible to that. So that puts something on us. We're like, man, we need to be as healthy as we possibly can be so that we can fulfill all that God has called us to do in this community. And obviously I'm using, you know, Moses Lake as the community, but this is the communities all around the world where the Lord has put upon our heart, the villages and the communities and the metropolitan areas of South Africa. Those churches that have been planted there, like this Antioch church, like this Generations church, they have a divine mandate upon them to reach the people there, to be used mightily of God there. And so when I talk about helping pastors in South Africa, I'm talking about helping in their private life, in their public life, and also in their pulpit life. There's no way whatsoever that the private life of a pastor is ever going to be fully separate from the pulpit life of a pastor. How the pastor really is in private is going to come out in the pulpit. So that's why it's so critical for a pastor to be healthy in his family relationships and his personal finances and in his private times. There's no duplicity, that there's godly character, that there's fruit of the Spirit. So then when it comes pulpit time, that they have a knowledge of Scripture and they deliver the Scripture through love and through understanding and through compassion and through consistency and also with integrity. I think over the years, unfortunately, we've seen too many times where there was not an integrity between the pastor's private life and the pastor's pulpit life. Lord, help us. We will be held accountable for that. And so we know that the ministries of a church are affected by the health of that church. The outflow of the church is affected by the ministry. And the best way to be able to bring health to the ministries of a church is through the health of the leadership team in place. This is what we see here in Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. There's a healthy leadership team in place. They are being led of the Spirit. This leadership and team in place here is helping the church to stay on track biblically, missionally, and spiritually. Hallelujah. Let's just be honest. We all want to be on track biblically, spiritually, and missionally. Hallelujah. I want to be. I really, at the end of the day, at the end of the year, at the end of the life, I want to say, Lord, I pray that I have grown, that I have developed, that I have become all that you've called me to be and be as healthy as I can be, because my life is really not my own. It's really His. I need to pay attention to that clock back there, sorry. The second thing is this. A local church on mission ministers to the Lord. We see it in verse number 2 and in verse number 3. While they were worshiping the Lord, while they were fasting. Verse number 3, while they were fasting and while they were praying, this church in Antioch gave themselves to the Lord in worship, in fasting, and in prayer. A healthy local church on mission recognizes its true role and responsibility as minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, I don't know if you remember this, but there used to be a motto or a saying that when somebody gets up and sings or whatever, you know, you only have an audience of one. I don't know, remember ever hearing that? Some people remember that, yeah. And, you know, we come up with these little mottos, but it really is true. Lord, I just want my life to be a beautiful fragrance offering unto you. And as we gather together on a Sunday morning, may our singing, the fruit of our lips, may the fruit of our lives be an expression of worship and honor and thanks and glorification to our God. We shall not boast in anything else except in Jesus. He is the only one worthy to get the attention, to receive the praise. And I believe this, when our hearts are so captured and raptured by the majesty of the risen Savior, there's nothing else that we can do but just to offer our whole selves to the Lord. Hallelujah. To offer ourselves wholly to the Lord in praise and reverence and our lives as living sacrifices. But I will be honest with you this morning that the Western church sometimes has exported too much of a me-centered, I-focused church. Hello? a me-centered, I-focused church. What we do here, what we do for the kingdom, it's not really for us and about us. It is about Him. He's the one. Jesus is the one that laid down His life for the church. He is the head of the church. If somehow, some way, I can just be a little part and portion of the body of Christ to bring glory to the head, to bring glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I enjoyed so much this morning just the sweet tranquility during the prayer time. And Starla, what a wonderful job on the piano. And wasn't there a sweet sense of the peace of God? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we need to just soak that in, because outside the walls of the churches, there is just chaos and craziness and conflict and all kinds of things raging that wants to get inside your heart to make your heart rage as well. We need the peace of God, and we need to be able to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in His face. And then the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's not me, it's not I. It's how I can actually decrease so that He can be fully increased. Hallelujah. A local church on mission ministers to the Lord first. And then the last thing, which I love, which is great, is that a local church on mission sends and supports those who are called by God. So, in this environment where the church is gathering for Him, seeking the Lord, fasting, praying, just submitting the will to the Lord, in that environment, that is where, in verse number 2, that is where the Spirit of God speaks. Amen? The Spirit of God speaks in an environment where a church is expectant and wanting to hear His voice and wanting to be in line with the will of the Father. Not a church that is in turmoil and in backbiting and all the things like that. We want to be in a position and a place so that the Spirit of God speaks among us so that His will can be done. The Spirit of God speaks in this situation and says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, because there's a work I have for them to do. And then that church gets behind them, prays for them, and sends them off. And we know Barnabas and Paul, do an amazing work for God. They go through Cyprus. They go into Asia Minor. They plant churches. They plant Ephesus churches and the churches in Colossae and Thessaloniki and Corinth. All of those things happened as a result of the local church being under the hand of God and listening to the Spirit of God. The calling of Barnabas and Saul was in the context of a local church. The context of a local church. The local church has more potential and more value than I think you and I can even grasp or realize. The value and the potential and the God-given destiny of the gathered community of faith and believers is the most powerful thing in this world. We need to grab a hold of that. And we need to put ourselves in a position where, God, we are here for you. We are here to minister unto your name. And we want the spirit of missions to align our hearts to the mission of God. And in that environment, he says, I want you to do this. I want you to do this in this community. I want you to love on this particular neighborhood. I want you to be called to a different part of the world, foreign missions. And all of that, the local church gets behind that and supports it and sends it, just as we saw this morning. Pastor praying for our friends going to Eureka. Steve? Starla? And he thanked this church because you have had a profound influence, effect, and help in their lives for the last 9-10 years here. That's the local church. And now they're going to do local ministry up in Eureka. The church is God's divine instrument to save and to touch our world. But we need to have healthy leadership, and we need to have healthy churches. Healthy churches are a direct result of healthy leadership. And this part of Scripture, you see, the book of Acts is a pattern for us as the local church in the 21st century. The book of Acts is a pattern of normative behaviors and activities of what the church should even be doing today. So it's not either or. It's not what can we do here at the expense of overseas missions. It's not what we can do in overseas missions and support and praying at the expense of our local community. That's not the case. It's and both, because that's what Scripture calls us to. The local church is and both. How in the world are you going to reach this community for Jesus? But also, you want your hearts to be open and generous for people around the world that you've never met before. You will never even shake their hand, but you know that Jesus died for them, and you want them to also have the same privilege and opportunity that you had to hear the gospel message and be able to say yes or no. And then in our part of our work, of how we can be able to help the local church in South Africa so that they can be that same type of instrument in their community, in their region of the world. So amen. We're church, we're a part of the most amazing thing. We are a part